Well, good morning, and live from the Ron Scott Communications Center, this is From the Stand. Glad that you tuned in this morning. Today, we're going to find out more about this year's Willa Brown Aviation Academy in the Madison area. Catch up with Esther Aubey from Air Corps and find out what's new in the Air Corps library and maybe what's new in the workshop. And we'll also splash in with Seaplane Pilot Association Steve McConaughey. But right now, we are going to talk a little bit about an effort to honor the legacy of a local air racing legend, and that being Steve Whitman. Joining me is Jim Cunningham and Mike Butler. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Thanks
Steve. For having us up here.
Yeah. Well, people who may not be from this area might not recognize the name Steve Whitman, but if you know anything about air racing or aviation in general, you do know that name. And Steve used to live just basically across the runway from where we are right now. And he was really influential not only in air racing and aviation, but also in the creation of the airport that we call Whitman Regional Airport today. But with him, one of his proteges is Bill Brennan. And Jim, you had the opportunity to meet and spend quite a bit of time with Bill through the years, and even wrote a book about it.
Yes. That was pretty amazing. And sometimes you'd just be sitting at a restaurant with him, and he'd say, you know, one time, and he'd start out a story. It was like, geez.
How did you strike up that friendship with him?
I was doing research on Steve Whitman
for
some biographical stuff, and somebody said, you have to meet this guy named Bill Brennan. And actually, it was over at Whitman's former house, and it was Betty Monette of Sonics Aircraft saying, you know, there's Bill Brennan over there. I said, yeah, I know who he is. And she's like, well, are you going to talk to him? I said, I can't just walk up to a Cleveland Air Race pilot and say, hey, how you doing? And she rolled her eyes, grabbed me by the arm, and pulled me across the lawn and said, this is Jim. He wants to talk to you about some air racing stuff. And I didn't know what to say, but he's a very down-to-earth guy, and we miss him a lot.
Yes, definitely. Let's talk a little bit first of Steve Whitman's career in racing, and then transition to Bill, because Bill's kind of overshadowed a little bit by Steve, but he is a great air racer in his own right.
Yeah, Bill was, and it's one of the reasons we wanted to build the Buster replica. The original's in Air and Space Museum.
Right.
Which they have a tent here, go talk to them. I freaked them out because I showed them a picture of our replica, and they're like, wait, this isn't at our museum. I said, no, that's not your airplane. But Bill was, he was born on, we can see the silos of his family farm from here up on the announcer stand, born here at the airport pretty much, and went to work for Steve and became a good pilot. He flew the National Air Races in Buster in 1947. Whitman had him fly that airplane. Bill was lightweight. They had to add 15 pounds of ballast to bring the airplane up to the minimum.
Okay.
And he flew against all the pilots, the race pilots that he'd read about growing up in the 30s, including, for example, to give you an idea of who he was competing with, Tony LeVere, who was test pilot on the P-38, the F-104, and the U-2, which we had here earlier this week. He was all that. And he was flying a custom-built race plane by Lockheed. Buster was rebuilt from a wrecked airplane that Whitman had built, Chief Oshkosh.
Right.
And then Bill won. He beat all those guys. And then had a very successful air race career and started an airport, which still exists to the north of us here, Brennan Airport.
Yeah. I've been in and out of Brennan before. It was kind of revamped and when it was a 15-foot
right.
wide runway.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yes.
It's a little nicer now.
A lot nicer.
With you mentioned that Chief Oshkosh was the original airframe that Buster is built off of, and it crashed in, what, 1938?
Yes, at Oakland, like after an engine failure.
Okay. And so it was in storage for a while until Steve kind of brought it out and decided to create something new with it, which is something he did quite often.
It hung up here in the Whitman hangar north of the airport during World War II. Whitman was running the War Service Training Program and civilian pilot training cadets.
Right.
And Bill Brennan was working for him as a mechanic and general helper. And they built, after the war, air racing was on hold during the war. It came back out, and they had the new category of class, which we now call the Goodyear Racers or Formula One, small light airplanes. And they realized that if they took the wreck of Chief Oshkosh and rebuilt everything pretty much from the cockpit forward, put a brand new, at that point, Continental engine on it and everything else, it could fit those characteristics for the National Air Races. So that's what they did. They originally rebuilt it just to play around in for about a year. And then they said, well, if we refine this, it can be a good, and it did. It beat the pants off of everything else. Like
wow.
I said, even those professionally designed race planes, this rebuilt wreck was faster.
Amazing. Mike, how did you get involved in this project?
Well, I met Bill. He's big at the seaplane base, and
right.
I had a seaplane. I live in the lake here and had a float plane. Got to know him through that and through QBs. And we got to be fairly close, and we would talk about Buster often. And, you know, when he started to really push for it, actually we started in 2015. And Jim Casper and I worked on it for, and a few other guys worked on it, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings,
okay,
you know, for a few hours. And then we didn't get very, you know, it was slow.
Okay.
This year we went on it full time from the first year on, and basically the way it was a, you know, there wasn't any plans for it.
Okay.
Dave Broadfoot, who did the restoration for the Smithsonian Buster, made a couple sketches, and we had the wings were original, the canopy was original, a couple of the cheek cowls over the wings were original, wheels and tires are original. So basically, we built the fuselage and the tail surfaces. And luckily he had some basic dimensions, and then what he did on the tail surfaces, he traced them because he wanted to build an airplane,
okay,
a replica of it for himself. And thank goodness he did that, because it gave us, it wasn't specific dimensions, but with the tracing, I was able to make the entire tail group. And in the fuselage, he had the overall length and some basic dimensions. The hard part, I mean, it was just, there was a couple pictures where it was, the cover was off when he was updating it in 49. Right. And allowed me to get a picture of what the elevator controls were like and the aileron controls were like, and where the attachments were for the landing and flying wires, because there was no dimensions. And I used, as an example, I used the canopy scratches that from over the years. Some of the early pictures, the canopy was scratched, and I used that location, that scratch, where that, in relation to the flying wire and,
sure,
and the landing wires. So I didn't give me a dimension, but I was able to, you know, get it pretty close. You'll never notice the difference.
Right.
And same with the elevator. That took a little different because of some of the internal tubing, getting the tube proper so it would work. You know, all the controls work just like they would normally, but it took a little bit because we didn't have the dimensions for it. But it turned out fine. I mean, yeah, it was, and the canopy we had for the turtle deck, we had the canopy, so that gave us the shape and the height. So, because that dimension wasn't there, so it, you know, stuff like that, yeah. And the engine mount, that was, I had all that on a. He had a dimension in the cowl from the firewall to the nose bowl, so I was able to construct the cowls. We did have the nose bowl built by Mark
Kinnison.
Kinnison.
Yep.
He's running the metal fabricating, yes, seminar, so. He made that last year for us, so that was we had to have that look. If that didn't have the proper look, the whole airplane wouldn't be right. And he did a beautiful job on that, and that made the whole airplane
good.
So,
where did the original pieces come from? How did you obtain those?
The wings were given to Dave Broadfoot by Steve Whitman,
okay,
probably as a thank you for restoring the airplane, okay, for Air and Space. And the other parts were here, and there's a lot of Whitman stuff,
yes,
in various locations and storage areas around here, and EA very kindly did that. And I also need to give a shout-out. A lot of folks were involved in this. Shout-out to Charlie Becker, mm-hmm, for getting us all the supplies. And even when we said, that's plenty, and it turned out not to be plenty, Charlie would go and say, we need more, and he'd get it for us. So.
Charlie is the one that welded the fuselage, too.
Okay.
I got it all tacked together, and he, yeah, again, we couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to put one more thing about Jim Casper, who couldn't be with us today up here on the stand. He did a lot of work on it. He did that because he can't be here because he is volunteering,
right,
up in the North 40. This is his 50th year, 50 years,
wow,
of volunteering.
That's,
so
that's,
yeah,
incredible.
He's amazing.
He certainly is. And yeah, he's been a fixture at
yes,
up at the North End, well, yeah, for 50 years, and doing a great job as well. But with this project, it's not going to be airworthy, or is it? It won't. So it's going into the museum at here, the EIA Aviation Museum?
Correct, yes, yes.
Okay, so Buster will be in two major aviation museums.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And it's at the Air and Space. Is it at the Hazy, or is it downtown?
It's downtown. In fact, they just got done renovating that. It's just now going back on display. I was talking to those,
okay,
folks. So, yeah.
And then for the EIA Aviation Museum, I'm sure that'll go in the Air Racing Gallery?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So what's the projected finish date on this?
It's done.
It's never done. Well, there's always stuff we want to do to it,
yeah,
that,
okay,
we're never going to have time for. But we might. We,
yeah,
might. We'll see.
Yes. Wheel pants.
Wheel pants.
There you go.
There's always stuff in the car. There's a lot of little details that we'd like to do, but, you know, eventually you have to call it done.
Okay. Well, good. And I'm sure there will be some sort of ceremony when it gets put into the museum.
Could be. I don't know.
I think
the museum staff.
This fall, I think they're talking about something this fall. November.
Yeah, we might do a museum series speaker
on the
airplane, so yeah.
All right, we'll look for that on the EIA website. Jim Cunningham is also a volunteer at the vintage area and the bookstore, helps raise money for vintage. So if you have any, you know, aviation books that you don't need in your library anymore, Jim will take them off
Please
your hands
do.
And,
yep.
and recycle them into support for vintage aircraft.
Yep.
Jim, Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with the Buster Project. We'll look for the unveiling coming this fall.
You bet.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
All right. This is EIA Radio.